Roll back the past.
The world seemed plagued by natural disasters in 1963. Earthquakes in Yugoslavia, floods and landslides in Italy, and hurricanes in Haiti and Pakistan. Leadership changed hands too during the year. In West Germany, Der Alte, as Konrad Adenauer was called, finally stepped down to make way for Ludwig Erhard.
Now I will return to your ranks, and I will listen. I hope to speak but little.
In Britain, in the wake of the Profumo affair, in which the British government was almost toppled by call girl Christine Keeler, Prime Minister Macmillan justified his action in not firing Profumo right away.
I did my best. When I have to think it over, when the end of my life, I think I'd rather carry the burden of having made a mistake and been proved wrong than have had it the other way and destroyed a man's life when he was really innocent.
Later, however, Macmillan resigned for health reasons. Alec Douglas-Hume, who would take over the premiership, read Macmillan's message to the Tory party.
Yesterday, I saw the Prime Minister and had a talk with him, and he later sent me a letter which he asked me to read as soon as I could after arriving at Blackpool to the conference. The letter reads as follows. It is now clear that whatever might have been my previous feelings, it will not be possible for me to carry the physical burden of leading the party at the next general election. If the operation which I am to undergo tomorrow proves successful, it is clear that I will need a considerable period of convalescence. I would not be able to face all that is involved in a prolonged electoral campaign.
While the Liverpool sound of the Beatles swept the world, a change in temporal leadership as Cardinal Montini succeeded John XXIII as Pope Paul VI. After he had blessed the crowds in St. Peter's Square, Pope Paul announced his trip to the Holy Land, the first pope to visit there and the first pope to fly.
Pope Paul said he would make a trip to the Holy Land in January 1964.
At the theaters of 1963, Edward Albee's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, Ionesco's Exit the King, and the Theatre Workshop's production Oh, What a Lovely War. Parody was king in 1963 as Alan Sherman bent popular lyrics to amuse thousands of avid fans.
Hello, mother. Hello, father. Here I am at Camp Granada. Camp is very entertaining. And they say we'll have some fun if it stops raining. I went hiking with Joe Spivey. He developed poison ivy. You remember Leonard Skinner. He got ptomaine poisoning last night after dinner. All the counselors hate the waiters. And the lake has alligators.
The credibility gap was Herder for the first time to describe the difference between official reports and the truth in the matter of Cuba and Vietnam in America. In fact, Madame Nu, wife of the South Vietnamese premier, warned of an impending American coup in her country.
There is a real hostility against my government, against myself from the American administration. The proof is in the fact that the economic aid has been reduced for so-called pressure. But how can we ever please the American administration if we do not even know what to do to relieve that pressure?
Not long after, Madame Nu lost both her husband and her brother-in-law after a Buddhist-led military coup. In Cyprus, the perennial trouble between Turk and Greek. In Africa, independence for Kenya and Nyasaland. And at Addis Ababa, the first African summit meeting.
Waiting on the bossa nova.
The rhythm of the bossa nova pervaded the dancing studios of the world as tension built in the United States South. Sit-ins, demonstrations, and freedom marches eventually spread north, culminating in the 250,000-strong Freedom March on Washington, where march leader Randolph addressed the throng.
I pledge my heart and my mind and my body to the achievement of social peace through social justice.
Freedom of a different kind was handed out to Winston Churchill by President John Kennedy.
And dark at nights, when England stood alone, and most men, save Englishmen, despaired of England's life, he mobilized the English language and sent it into battle. The incandescent quality of his words illuminated the courage of his countrymen. Indifferent himself to danger, he wept over the sorrow of others. A child of the House of Commons, he became its father. Accustomed to the hardships of battle, he had no distaste for pleasure. Now his stately ship of life, having weathered the severest storms of a troubled century, is anchored in tranquil waters, proof that courage and faith and zest for freedom are truly indestructible. The record of his triumphant passage will inspire free hearts all over the globe. By adding his name to our rolls, we mean to honor him. But his acceptance honors us much more. For no statement or proclamation can enrich its name now. The name Sir Winston Churchill is already legend.
The voice of Kennedy was soon to be stilled by assassin Lee Harvey Oswald's bullets. An eyewitness to the assassination in Dallas.
He was coming down the street and my five-year-old boy and myself were by ourselves on the grass there on Palmer Street, and I asked Joe to wave to him, and Joe waved, and I waved, and the man...
That's all right, sir.
You waved. Because he was waving back. He was... The shot rang out, and he slumped down in the seat, and his wife reached up toward him, and he was slumping down, and the second shot went off, and it just knocked him down from the seat.
Two shots.
Please.
Did you see the man who did this?
No, sir, I did not see the man who did it. All I did was look in the man's face when he was shot there and saw that expression on his face and grab himself and slide. And the second one, whenever it went, why, I'm positive it had hit him. I hope it didn't, but I'm positive that it hit him, and he went all the way down in the car.
New President Lyndon Baines Johnson.
All I have, I would have given gladly not to be standing here today. An assassin's bullet has thrust upon me the awesome burden of the presidency. No memorial oration or eulogy could more eloquently honor President Kennedy's memory than the earliest possible passage of the Civil Rights Bill for which he fought so long.
Back the Past was devised and presented by Percy Seath and comes to you by courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.